Yo, hey man, what's poppin', man? It's your boy D Yates, and we're here with a whole new episode of the Mac Project Show. Wah! Hey man, look, first things first, I'd like to give all praises to Yahweh by Hashem, Yahweh Shah, that's the Most High God, Yahweh, and the name of His Son by Hashem, Yahweh Shah, who the world ignorantly calls Jesus, right? So, first things first, I appreciate everybody who listened to it, you know, liked it, shared it, you know, give it to your friends, let somebody know you done got some good, you done heard some fire, right? Look, but all jokes aside, you know, we struggling right now as a people. A lot of our people are waking up into the knowledge of who we are as a people, but guess what? We're still very damaged as a people. Right. And they use a lot of different tools to damage us mentally. Right. And this is one of the main tools they use to damage us mentally. Right. Entertainment. They used a lot of entertainment. So I got something for y'all to let y'all know that number one, that there's no new thing under the sun. But number two, to understand how long ago they've been planting these seeds to kind of make us like we're effeminate. The men, the Israelite man, make him effeminate and soft and not able to protect his family and not able to protect anybody. They've been planting these seeds to look at us as being worthless from the beginning, from the get-go, right? I'm gonna play this for you.
In my hometown, Clifton Forge, Virginia, one of the major activities of young men, both black and white, in the late 30s and during World War II, was to go to the Saturday matinee to see cowboy movies. They would start, you know, around 12 o'clock and have two showing. The black kids, we sat in segregated seats, of course. The cowboys were always white. They represented the good guys. And of course, the soldiers were always white. The settlers were always white. And then you had these bad guys, the Indians. And then you had bad guys, the outlaws. And it was the same scenario each Saturday, you know, some outlaw trying to take a farm or a ranch away, or some settlers moving across the frontier, and they were just trying to get to a new home, and these vicious Indians would attack. And always the Indians would always be about to win when the cavalry would come and whatnot. And we never saw, you know, any blacks playing any of these roles. And I recall, was yesterday, they showed the preview for the next Saturday show. And we saw a black man in cowboy dress. He was driving a wagon. We didn't observe that it was really a mule. He was pulling the wagon, And we were shocked. A black cowboy. Well, somehow it went through our mind that this black cowboy would do what the other cowboys did, to be brief. Well, we look forward to the next Saturday. And on that particular day, an hour before the show, the streets were lined with young, you know, black males. The theater owner and the police didn't know what to make of all of it. I remember one friend of mine was shoved by a local policeman with the statement, "You picking ninnies, stop blocking the street." And they couldn't imagine what was about this show that made us want to get there. And So when the movie started, sure enough, this black guy shows up, and they inform him that the wagon train's about to move out. He was part of a wagon train, and that there would be Indians, you know, out there. And he made some comical statement, which began to wonder, you know, because we had been accustomed to only seeing black clowns, but not a black clown who was a cowboy. And so he made some statements. They hope he doesn't see any Indians and this, that, and the other. And so, sure enough, as they got out a day or so, I suppose, someone came riding back that the Indians are coming. And there was great excitement, and the wagons were drawn into a circle. And so they told this. Now, his name bothered us also, because when we first saw him, someone said Fat Meat, and we couldn't believe that was his name. We found out later that was indeed his name, Fat Meat. So we'll call him Fat Meat now. Now, when the Indians attacked, they proceeded to circle the wagons and just run around the wagon, you know, and the settlers shot them off the horses. Now, that wasn't quite the way the Indians fought, but that's the way they showed it. And so they tried to get Fat Meat to take a gun, and Fat Meat was trembling, and he was afraid. And so they insisted that you take a gun. And so they actually forced the gun into Fat Meat's hand, a rifle. And he was so afraid of it that he dropped it. Then he pulled out reached in his pocket, trembling, and pulled out a barber's razor. And he was trembling and dropped that. And he got down on his knees to try to pick it up with his teeth. And about that time, an arrow went over his head. And if he had been standing up, it would hit him, dead center. And so he saw the arrow and was so terrified that they used that way they speed up a camera or slow it down. I think it's slow it down to make it look as the person has superhuman speed. And he took off. You know, you could hardly see him running. And he jumped in the wagon with the children. And he was so terrified. And a young little white girl, looked like she may have been 6, 7 years old, tried to comfort him. And she told him that her daddy wasn't going to let the mean old Indians harm him. And there the children were trying to comfort our black hero, you see. And we were totally, you know, couldn't believe what we were seeing. And then after the raid, now what happened, it was announced that ammunition was out, was about to go, and the Indians would surely come and annihilate everybody, and they prepared for it. And just at the proper moment, a bugle sound across the way, and it was the United States Cavalry. And of course, at the moment the bugle sounded, the Indians took off, which wasn't always the case. And so the wagon train was saved, and so they brought Fat Meat out. They had to hold him up. He was still shaking. And he saw a dead Indian, and he fainted. Now, I got back to school. I was in the 5th grade. My teacher was George Linton Davis. He's now Dr. George Linton Davis. But anyway, I asked him about this. And he told me that this is what movies were doing, telling you, you know, trying to pass these stereotypes on to you. But he told me something that shocked me, and maybe he got me interested in black history. He told me that 1/3 of the cowboys were black, and they were not like Fat Meat. And he also told me that about 1/2 the soldiers that fought the Indians were black. And this is what introduced me to the black Buffalo soldiers. I had never heard that term before. We had seen nothing but clowns. So it was just something more the same, and we probably felt that, you know, how stupid we were to have thought otherwise, to have seen Fat Meat, you know, shoot some Indians or beat up some cowboys and ride off into the sunset. You know, we were fairly naive to even thought that after we had seen the film. And it was, I never will forget that. Over 50 years ago, I guess it happened.
You see, they have used cinema They have used, you know, music. They have went to great lengths to make it seem like the so-called Black, Hispanic, and Native Indian man are either A, effeminate, or B, just outright lawless, crazy, out of their minds, bugged out criminals. You see two stereotypes even in this story. The Indians fighting for their land, have you, right? They're the bad guys. The ones fighting for their own identity, they're the bad guys. Their personal, their property, right? They're the bad guys. That's one. And you have the so-called Black man, though, right? This soft, effeminate husky. You got to have a little fucking white girl coming and, "Hun, it's okay. My daddy's going to protect you." The fuck? They have been doing this to us for a very long time. You see it now. You see it right now. They try and make homosexuality our thing. They try to make being effeminate our thing. They try and make you care about everything but protecting your family our thing. And that's never been our thing. It's never been our thing. They have done a full and thorough job destroying our self-image. A full, thorough, and elaborate job destroying our self-image, right? I'm going to read a couple of passages from you. We're reading from the Willie Lynch letter, right? It's the chapter about cardinal principles for making a Negro. It says, "For fear that our future generations may not understand the principles of breaking both the beast together, the nigger and the horse," right? It's talking about breaking both the nigger and the horse. "We understand that short-range planning economics results in periodic economic chaos. So that to avoid turmoil in the economy, it requires us to have breadth and depth and long-range comprehensive planning," right? "Articulating both skill, sharp perceptions," right? Keep going. "We lay down the following principles for long-range comprehensive economic planning. Both horse and niggers is no good to the economy in a wild or natural state. Both must be broken and tied together for orderly production. For orderly future, special and particular attention must be paid to the female and the youngest offspring. Both must be crossbred to produce a variety and division of labor. Both must be taught to respond to a particular new language. Psychology and physical instructions of containment must be created for both. We hold the six cardinal principles as truth to be self-evident based upon the following. The discourse concerning the economics of breaking and tying the horse and the nigger together, all inclusive of the six principles laid down above. Note, neither principle alone will suffice for good economics. All principles must be employed for utterly good of the nation. Accordingly, both a wild horse and a wild or natural or nature nigger is dangerous, even if captured, for they will have the tendency to seek their customary freedom, and in doing so, might kill you in your sleep. You cannot rest. They sleep while you are awake and are awake while you sleep. They are dangerous near the family house and requires too much labor to watch them from the house. So I read that just a little bit of it. We're going to keep reading on it. But it's telling you us in our natural state are warriors. Us in our natural state is going to be, you know, seeking for freedom. We're not going to be okay with being oppressed. We're not going to be okay with being effeminate. And just in our natural state, they knew that already, right? So guess what they got to do, right? He's going and outlining principles that they have to use in order to make us effeminate, like we are today, generally, if we're being honest, right? Keep going. And it says, above all, you cannot get them to work in this natural state. Hence, both the horse and the nigger must be broken. That is breaking them from one form of mental life to another. There it is, right? Keep going. Keep the body, take the mind. In other words, break the will to resist. Now, the breaking process is the same for both the horse and the nigger, only simply varying in degrees. But as we said before, there is an art in long-range economic planning. So how you break a horse, he's basically outlining this the same process to how you break a nigger. Right? Because you can't have a wild horse and, you know, you can't ride a wild horse. Why it's going to buck? Same thing with us. You can't have us in our natural state of mind. Why? Because we're going to buck. Same process, right? We're going to keep reading, though. You must keep your eye and thoughts on the female and the offspring of the horse and the nigger. A brief discourse in offspring development will shed light on the key to sound economic principles. Pay little attention to the generation of original breaking, but concentrate on future generations. This is what they do, right? So now what's being passed in our kids now, right? What, the ABCs? They're passing that on to our kids. They're allowing the kids to be transgender now. Right? They're pushing all this stuff and making SpongeBob gay. They're doing all this stuff to plant these seeds in our kids' minds. It's nothing different, right? Keep going. And it says, therefore, if you break the female mother, she will break the offsprings in its early years of development. And when the offspring is old enough to work, she will deliver it up to you. For her normal female protective tendencies will have been lost in the original breaking process. Ain't that what's going on right now? It's scary. It's scary how this is written so long ago, but in 2020, we still have this same process going on. They give all the control to the women for the kids, and then we wonder why our self-image is so fucked up. We wonder why it's so easy for us to be manipulated by this demon. Why is it so hard for us to come together as a people? Why we can't stop killing each other but loving a white man? But we're going to keep reading. And it says, for example, take the case of the wild stud horse. A female horse and an original infant horse, and compare the breaking process with two captured nigger males. In their natural state, a pregnant nigger woman with her offspring, take the stud, break him for limited containment. Completely break the female horse until she becomes very gentle, whereas you or anybody can ride her. In her comfort, breed the mare and a stud until you have the desired offspring. Then you can turn the stud to freedom until you need him again. Train the female horse whereby she will eat out of your hands, right? And that's what they're doing right now. They train our female horses by what? Or our women by what? Child support, welfare, right? Hood, right? Section 8. Got big ass houses. Section 8 houses be big as hell. They be in like 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, living in nice neighborhoods for Section 8. Never realized that's a Section 8 home. Why? They're telling you the process, right? Keep going. It says, train the female horse where she will be, will slack it, whereby she will eat out of your hand. And she will in turn train the infant horse to eat out of your hand also. When it comes to breaking the uncivilized nigger, use the same process, but vary the degree and step up the pressure so as to do a complete reversal of the mind. It's one of the key points I wanted to get to. This process of giving the power to our women, right, to raise the kids after they're being broken, is a part of their plan to do a complete reversal of our minds, to make us soft, effeminate faggots, somebody that'll never rise up against them, somebody that needs them, someone that's putting their hand, we'll eat out of their hands. We're eating out of the so-called white man hands right now. The majority of our people. The majority of people who back in, you know, probably ancient days were warriors, man. Fighters, man. Soldiers, man. They make it seem like y'all just effeminate and soft. But I'm going to read out on this. I'm going to read out on this, and then we're going to go to the Bible. It says, take the meanest and most restless nigger. Strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining nigger males, the female and the nigger infant. Tar and feather him. Tie each leg to a different horse faced in opposite directions. Set him on fire and beat both horses to pull him apart in front of the remaining nigger. The next step is to take a bullwhip and beat the remaining nigger male to the point of death in front of the female and the infant. Don't kill him, but put the fear of God in him, for he can be used for future breeding. The majority of our men right now are only good for future breeding because you have been broken. We have been broken down and downtrodden and destroyed mentally, right? Really physically as well. They gun us down at rapid weights, you know, rapid rates. And, you know, it's really bad what's happening to the so-called, well, not so-called, the actual Israelites. It's a damn shame what they did to destroy our minds, to destroy our self-images. Like we're not the warriors of the Bible. Right? But let me give you the good news. We got future prophecies that says otherwise though. Right? And this is why we're urging our people to come back into the folds of who we are. Because who we are, we're not effeminate. Who we are, we're actually men. Right? Who we are, we're actually men. And we're going to read this from the Bible, right? We're going to start at Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 19. It reads, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Keep reading. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy the kingdoms. Right? He's going to use you, so-called black man, so-called Hispanic man, so-called Native Indian. He's going to use you to destroy the nations. That's the good news. The good news is you're not no damn soft, effeminate ass man. You're not broken. You're not no piece of shit, soft faggot, scared of guns. Oh, I'm so scared. No, man, you're a warrior. And guess what? The Most High is going to use you again. Just like he used our forefathers in ancient days as warriors, fighters. We're going to go to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7. Yep. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 7. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angels of the Lord before them. Right? So it says in that day, right? And that's speaking about the 144,000, right? When we're going around actually gathering up these kings, right? We're gonna be throwing their kings in chains. We're gonna be putting them in the slave trade, right? In that day, the most softest, feeble man, but came into the truth, and the Most High picked him, right? The feeble one is gonna be like David, a warrior. Right. What was the lady saying? Saul killed 1,000 men. Right. But David killed tens of thousands of men. We're warriors, man. It's in us. We're the weapons of the Most High choice. We're his weapons. Right. I'm going to go to another one. Right. Let's go to Ezekiel 25. They try and do everything to make us soft and effeminate. Oh, we're so scared. Nah, man. It's that bullshit. Ezekiel 25 and verse 12. It says, thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom has dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and have greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Right? Keep going. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it. And I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do to Edom according to my anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. Right? He's going to use us to exact his revenge. He ain't going to come down here and put hands, feet, and paws and his sword on Esau, the damn devil. He's not going to do that. He's going to use his people. We're his weapon of choice. We're his battle axe. Right? You can't be soft being the Most High God's weapon of choice. You're his. How can you be soft? But the white man has destroyed us, man. He laid out his plan for us to make us soft and effeminate. To make it so you only tough with another nigga. But you're not tough with them. You don't keep that same energy with them. You turn into a little baby. That was taught to you, man. You're a warrior. and you hate them. You've always hated them. They've always been your enemy. They always been your enemy. Look at what lengths they went to make you soft and effeminate. And hate your own people. Look at what lengths, right? Keep going on some of Esau's. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2 and Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says, ask of me, and thou shalt give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. We're the judges of the earth. And guess what? We're going to break these heathens, man. Ain't no softness. Ain't no effeminate coming out of here. We're going to break them. I pray the Most High use me to break them. Every last one. I want to break you. All of you. Every heathen, I want to break you, man. Just like you broke us, I want to break you. I need that. Go to Psalms 147. It's like it. Psalms 140. Psalm 149 and verse 6. This going inside with Ezekiel. Right. No, it's like it. What was that? Zechariah. Go inside with the Zechariah when he said he's going to make the most feeble one as David, right? Why? Because this is what he's going to be doing. Psalms 149 and verse 6. I'm going to start at verse 5. And it said, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to exact vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. This is our honor to break them, to tie their kings up, their presidents, their governments, their loved ones, the Bill Gateses. I need you in them chains, boy. I need that shit. This is an honor, man. This will be my honor. I would love that. They want to take us so far away from what God said we are. This is why you have to come back to your true heritage. Your true heritage ain't no bitch, man. You not no bitch. But they make you a bitch, though. They make you soft. They make you effeminate. They make you sensitive. They make you, well, it's supposed to be peace, peace, love, 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 peace, peace to the world, love, love, love. Come on, man. Our self-image has been played with and toyed with and destroyed our minds, man. Big as we are, big as and strong as we are, mentally weak as hell, soft as fuck. The only time we turn up to the max is against another nigga. That's where we are. We hate each other so much, but love the white man and is fearful. He put the fear of God in us, right? Well, no, not the fear of God. The fear of white God in us. The fear of white Jesus in us. That's he did that. And now you have these big, strong-ass niggas with all these dirty 30s and 40 clips and all they Glocks got dicks on it with 150 million shots in this shit. They done killed 33 niggas in the song. But guess what? When a white man talks to him, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, master. Yes, sir. Yo, sir. I'm sorry. I never. Get the fuck out of here, man. Soft as hell. But guess what? The Most High can't lie. All these prophecies ain't come to pass yet. I want to be a part of that number that's doing this. I want to be a part of that number that take their little ones and dash them against the stones, right? Let me bring that out. Psalms 137 and verse 7. It says, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who ought to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewarded thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall we be to in place all these systems there to oppress our enemies, to make their women hate them, to fuck their minds up, to make them mentally weak, not to butt break them, because that's all that gay shit, and that's they faggot ass shit that they can have that, but to just destroy their mental. And make sure that we got some good old boys working for us. We need them good slaves working for us, right? Happy shall we be to serve them what they served us, right? I'm going to keep going. Verse 9, it says, happy shall he be that taketh and dashes thy little ones against the stones. Let me paint this picture for y'all. You know, they had this nice little blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby, right? Just born, bright blue eyes, right? Little blonde hair waving, smelling like a fucking poodle, right? We're going to be looking at his little ugly alien face head ass, little E.T. baby ass, right? We're looking at him, oh, look at the little baby, right? And I'm going to palm the back of his head. I'm going to make sure ain't no grass around this motherfucker. I need concrete. I'ma look at it, grab while I'm palming the back of his head like a volleyball. And like, God, the head bounced. I'ma try and dribble y'all son's head like basketballs if I get that honor. I need that honor, man. I need that. I mean, because look at what they did to wives. Fed them to gators, hanged them, raped them, killed them. Like, look at the bullshit that they did to us. Look at how elaborate it. Look, they went too far with the bullshit, man. So we need all that. We need all that. All that back. Boy, my slaves is gonna be fucked up. I know that. I have way too much hate. And I don't even have the Most High's anger on me yet. Listen, it's so much stuff we just finding out. I never heard of the black cowboy story about fat meat. That come on, man. Look at the pictures they've been painting in our minds since we've been in this motherfucker, man. Like we all just soft and nah, man, they need all this back, man. And happy shall we be to dash, to take they little ones and dash them little ugly motherfuckers against the stone. And I'll be happy as a motherfucker doing that shit. Hey, man, look, this has been another episode of the Matt Project Show. And I'm out. Wah.